very good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington on Wednesday, August 10th, 2022. This is Live Talk. I am Kip Stube. Tonight on the Diaspora Forum, we are talking about Kenyan elections and the diaspora vote. Kenyans voted at home in African nations and abroad yesterday in the country's national elections. Some Kenyans in the diaspora voted for the first time here in Washington, D.C. Preliminary results of the presidential election indicate that there is a tough race between Deputy President William Ruto and opposition leader Raila Odinga, who is being backed by former President Uhuru Kenyatta. The Electoral Commission says the turnout was lower than the previous election in 2017. Jakaya Kikwete, former Tanzanian President and election observer, says,
"I cannot ramble about turnout. You cannot push the CTS to come. That's your pastime now, not mine. Mine is... They've been allowed to vote. Nobody was restricted, prevented from voting. The process was calm, peaceful, orderly. So if somebody has chosen not to exercise his or her right to elect their leader, well."
That was the Jakaya Kikwete, former Tanzanian president and election observer. Namhla kuhlelo lwezizalwane zeZimbabwe ezihlala kwamanye amazwe. Sithotha ngokhetho kwele Kenya. Okwamanje kukhanya zindala zombili kukhetho lolu. Umnumzana William Ruto, obe ngumsekeli kamongameli, ungqikelana lomnumzana Raila Odinga, okhokhela umanyano wamabandla aphikisayo. Lokhu kubalwa khona manje amavoti. Kukhangelelwe ukuba amavoti wonke azabalwa kusiyafika umhlaka 16 Ncwabakazi. Abahlala kwamanye amazwe bavote kukhetho lolu. To hear more about the Kenyan elections, we reached out to VOA English to Africa Managing Editor, Vincent Makori, who is in Langata, Nairobi.
Here in Nairobi, the tallying continues on the second day after voting on the 9th of August. What we have at the moment are, in fact, numbers that indicate the race is too close to call between the two front runners. Mr. Raila Odinga and Mr. William Ruto, both of them seem to be performing at a level that is very close to each other. Now, at the moment as we speak, Raila Odinga, or rather William Ruto, is a little bit ahead, but it's not too much to make any significant change, because throughout the day, the numbers have been fluctuating between Raila Odinga and Mr. William Ruto. At one time, one or the other is ahead of the other. So what our citizens are saying is that they will keep waiting until perhaps the next day, if possible. They hope that the Electoral Commission will finalize the process in good time and make an announcement. But there's no clear indication of who is winning at this point. What we can say, though, is that the Electoral Commission Chairman, Mr. Wafula Chebukati, has promised to conclude the process as quickly as possible and make an announcement. But by law, he's allowed 7 days to make the announcement as long as everything is okay. Now, they're waiting for all the documents to come from the different polling stations from around the country in order to be verified. And once they're verified, they will then make that announcement. So at the moment also, it's important to realize that it's not only the presidential election that is taking place. There are also races for governors of different counties, members of parliament, members of the county assemblies, and even women representatives. Now, in those races, results have started being announced. There are some who have already known that they have won the parliamentary positions, or they have lost. And so we, throughout the country, are witnessing conceding parties and those who are also accepting the victory. And so that is not to be lost on the minds of people, that Kenya holds an election on the same day for the president, for governor, member of parliament, senators, women representative, and member of the county assembly. So it's a fairly complex election, and for that reason, it's not a surprise that it takes a little bit of a time to make all the counting and put everything together and verify in order for people to feel that the process is clearly transparent and credible. Now, it has to be remembered that one of the frustrations that Kenyans have faced is a low voter turnout. And many are saying it's not understandable why many Kenyans decided to stay home instead of going to the polling station on election day. But and there are so many reasons, they say. Could be one, it is being unhappy with the politics of the country over the years. They have been participating in elections, but they don't see so much difference in their lives. And so some of them decided, what's the point of voting? Now, for the youth who make a big chunk of the population of this country, many had already decided they're not going to vote because they don't see the leaders that put themselves at the front there as representing their interests, which include unemployment and, of course, other issues that affect the youth, including security and the corruption that they see going on in the system. So that is some of the discussion that has been going on, why the voter apathy to that degree, and also why are we seeing elections being too close to call. Of course, that was part of the polling that was done indicated that it would be like that. But at this time, they're trying to understand how can you explain that in the face of a very low voter turnout. So the submission of the necessary documents for the tallying continue throughout the night. The Electoral Commission officials are not sleeping at all. We expect to get some clarity perhaps overnight tonight or sometime tomorrow. And who knows, there could be a big announcement from this city. But we cannot speculate anything. We'll wait and see. It's something that is a new development, especially for the diasporians who live in the United States and other Western nations. For the first time, they got to vote. So there is, in fact, the Electoral Commission chairman mentioned that they are going to also include the numbers from the diaspora to the numbers for the presidential votes, because the members of the diaspora, those who live across the world who have voted, only vote for the presidency. They don't vote for governor, for members of parliament, or any other position below the president. So those are also going to be included in the total numbers that are going to the presidential candidate. And that is very exciting to those who live in the diaspora, because for many, many years, they felt disenfranchised just merely because they lived abroad, although they're also fellow Kenyans. So that is a new development, and we'll see how many of them voted and how much impact it will have on the overall tally when it's finally announced.
That was Vincent Makori, VOA English to Africa Managing Editor in Langata, Nairobi, that is in Kenya. Many Zimbabweans have commended the Kenyan government for allowing its citizens to vote from America and other nations. We spoke to Jen Moyo, a Zimbabwean living in USA, about this issue.
We saw the Kenyans in the diaspora here in the United States participating in the Kenyan national election that is happening. This clearly shows that other African countries have progressed in terms of allowing their nationals who live abroad to participate in the political dispensation in their country. This shows that they value their citizens regardless of where they are stationed in life. They respect their constitution. They respect the fact that if you are born Kenyan, you will always be Kenyan, and that Kenya is your home and you should be able to participate in the politics in the country. What we are seeing in our country, in Zimbabwe, is really a regression meaning the country is moving backwards while other countries are moving forward. I think this can be seen in how the economy is even performing in Zimbabwe. That's why even now they don't have, Zimbabwe has no currency. Zimbabwe has lost a lot of its citizens who are scattered all over the world. These Zimbabweans are not being given their rights to participate in the politics. It is all political. The government of Zimbabwe, even though we have lobbied them for many years now and tried to show them that other countries are progressive and are allowing their citizens the right to vote, it looks like we are hitting on a brick wall. We've had conversations with President Edi Mnangagwa, who promised us when we met him in New York in 2019 that come 2023, he was personally going to make sure that Zimbabweans in the diaspora get their vote. We now realize that that was a false promise. The president cannot be trusted. He's not a man of his word. He's failed dismally to address a simple issue that allows the Zimbabwean people the right to vote. We as Zimbabweans in the diaspora contribute enormously in financially to Zimbabwe. The remittances we send there are almost a third of the GDP. And we have almost 4 million Zimbabweans outside the country. We constitute a larger constituency than even the people that voted, the total number of people that voted in last year's, in the last election in 2018. So clearly such a large constituency should be given its right to participate in the country's politics so that they can contribute towards rebuilding the country, rebuilding the economy, bringing fresh ideas from abroad and everything they have learned. So it's a missed opportunity that up until now Zimbabweans are still being denied their right to vote.
That was Dan Moyo, a political activist living in USA. We also spoke to Mandla Moyo, a Zimbabwean living in Sydney, Australia. Akasizweke ukuthi uMandla Moyo utheni wadaba lolu khona ngale ke eSydney kwele Australia.
Ngibona ingani sokuyisikhathi esifaneleyo ukuthi igovernment yakithi kwele Zimbabwe inanzelele ukubana izizalwane ezihlala ediaspora zithole nazo ilungelo lokuthi zivote zisemazweni ezihlala kiwo. Kumele sibone okwenzakala kwele Kenya. Ngijabule kakhulu ngibona ukuthi izizalwane zeKenya ziyenelisa ukuvota ezingahlali khona elizweni lelo ezisediaspora. Kithi kugovernment yeZimbabwe ngilesicelo ukuthi kumele kunanzelelwe ukuthi kuqakathekile uku-exercise i-democratic right yama-citizens ahlala ediaspora. I-government yakithi akumelanga ikhangele kuphela ukukhongozela inzuzo eyimali ethunyezwa ngabantu abahlala ediaspora, kodwa kumele sinanzelele ukuthi kumele sibe le-voice lokukhetha abameli edale lephalamende lomkhokheli welizwe. Kungaba yinto enhle ukuthi kumnyaka ozayo, kukhetho oluzayo, abantu abahlala ediaspora abeZimbabwe benelise ukuvota kuma-embassies emazweni lapha abahlala khona.
Lo ngumnumzana Mandla Moyo ohlala kwele-Australia, uhlala khona ngale eSydney. Let's take a brief break and please stay tuned. Thank you. For those that have just joined our show, please note that we are streaming this discussion live on our Facebook pages, VOA Shona, VOA Studio 7, and VOA Ndebele. We are also live on YouTube, VOA Zimbabwe. Joining us via Skype is Mr. Kutsai Samaita, a Zimbabwean living in Canada. Mr. Samaita, can you hear me?
I can hear you loud and clear, Baba Dube.
Yes. How are you, Mr. Samaita?
I'm very well, thanks. And thank you so much for having me on the show.
Thank you so much. So tell us about what you are hearing about Kenya. We know that some diasporans actually voted here in Washington, D.C., and perhaps even in Canada, and what you'd love to see. What you'd love to see yourself.
I definitely had my own colleagues at work going to vote here in Canada, and these are Kenyans. And this is something that is commendable and it's appreciated. It's a wonderful thing that Kenyans can exercise their constitutional right to decide the leadership of their country, and that is something that is so good. And we are only hoping as Zimbabweans that one day we will also be able to practice our constitutional right from outside the borders of our country.
So now, siyabona ukuthi ukhonoko ke kwenzakele kwele Kenya. Kodwa ke nxa sisikhangela eZimbabwe akwayenzakali phela. Ubona ukuyenzakala yini, Baba Sabathi?
Empeleni kufanele njalo kulungile ukuthi amaZimbabweans noma ngabe siphandle kwelizwe lathi sivumeleke ukuthi sivote, ngoba phela kulilungelo lethu. Into le eyenziwa nguhulumende waseZimbabwe yibuhixihixi lobuyana obubangela ukuthi iZEC ingavumeli abantu abangaphandle kwelizwe ukuthi bevote. Ngiyavumelana lazo izikhulumeli zonke eke zakhuluma ngaphambi kwami ukuthi kulilungelo lethu njengabantwana beZimbabwe ukuthi sikwazi ukukhetha abakhokheli bethu, abakhokheli belizwe, ngoba bayisebenzi zethu, basebenzela thina njengoba bekhona phana.
Mungaita say ukuthi muvote kuZimbabwe kuma elections?
Kuti tenderwe kushandisa kodzero yedu yekusarudza vatungamiriri. Zvinhu zvakatikoshera isu sevana veZimbabwe. Zvizvarwa zveZimbabwe, sekutaura kwamboita mumwe panapa, ndaivemo muNew York mugore ra-2019, pakasvika President Mnangagwa akatipromisa iye kuti he will make sure kuti vana veZimbabwe vacha kwanisa kushandisa kodzero dzavo dzekusarura mutungamiri utungamiri hwenyika pasarudzo inenge ichitevera. Asi zvotishamisa zvekuti pari zvino hatisi kutenderwa, hapana zvati zvaitwa. Zvakaipa fani zvinoitwa kuZimbabwe kuti hurumende inotozvirova dundundu ichifarira mari dzinotumirwa nezvizvarwa zveZimbabwe zvinogara kunze kwenyika, asi vasingatenderi zvizvarwa zveZimbabwe kuti zvinge zvichishandisa kodzero yekuvhotera vatungamiri venyika.
But we know, Mr. Samaita, that there should be some electoral changes if you have to vote in Zimbabwe's elections. So are you pressing for those electoral changes, or you're just observers trying to get a share of the electoral vote?
Yeah, so this is one thing that we've been encouraging the main alternative government, opposition party. This is something that we've been trying to spearhead to make sure that they make sure that there are electoral reforms in Zimbabwe. Elections will never be meaningful until certain things have been adjusted in Zimbabwe. We know for a fact that we have a problem where the ZEC in itself is just an apparatus, not of the country, but of one political party, and that is not right. And amongst the major things that we are crying for, especially us who live outside the country, is to be allowed the constitutional right of electing. You see, because denying children of Zimbabwe who live outside the country is denying our citizenship. And this is something that is engraved in our hearts. It could never change wherever we are. We will always be identified as Zimbabweans who live outside the country. I intend not to preach But we know for a fact that the word diaspora itself is a biblical term, which simply meant Jews living outside the walls of Jericho. And they never denied the fact that they were Jews. And so that's the same with us. We are Zimbabweans. We might live outside the borders of our country, but we will remain Zimbabweans.
Now, how best can you convince the government that you need to vote? How can you do it, you know?
Perhaps it's time, as diasporans, we consider giving the government our own sanctions, because they are giving us sanctions by not allowing us to vote. Perhaps it's time we may end up having to come up with ways of giving them sanctions. I could easily begin to send money to Botswana, and my parents will collect the money from Botswana if they have to. I could even easily find other means of sending the money just to make sure that they don't benefit as a government. So, We may have to take some tough stances, but the government needs to know and be convinced that we as Zimbabweans, it's our constitutional right to choose the leadership.
That was Mr. Kutsai Samaita, a Zimbabwean living in Canada, who asked him to stay for a while. We are going to come back to him. We also have another question, that is Mr. Xavier Zavare of ZANU-PF, who is based in London. Mr. Zavare is using Skype as well. Good evening, sir.
Good evening. How are you doing?
No, I'm fine. How are you? It's good to see you. Huh?
Good to see you. It's been a while.
Yes. And tell us a bit about, you know, we saw the Kenyans voting while in the diaspora in London, in Washington, D.C., for the first time, and all these kind of things. What's your take on that?
Okay, I think when we have this kind of discussions that we are meant to have as Zimbabweans, there's no harm in discussing those kind of things. What is actually important is to understand the context of each and every country and the background to what they are doing. So you would see that, you know, across Africa, there are about 26, 27 countries that in their constitution allow diaspora voting. And it is very key, very, very, very pertinent to understand the constitutionality of what is being done by Kenya and how it came to be. The Kenyans introduced diaspora voting in their new constitution of 2010. That's when it was constitutionally put in their constitution that there will be a diaspora voting. Now, that was for the first time since they attained independence back in 1964. It didn't happen in the elections that followed. But to come up with a diaspora policy in 2015 as Kenyans, whereby they had a roundtable conversations and discussions to say, okay, we want to introduce this thing that has been put in our constitution by our people, that has been agreed by our people to be in the constitution. That is diaspora voting. Now, how best can we come up with diaspora voting? What is expected of the diaspora citizen? What is expected of us is government. So what is mutually beneficial to us all, our citizens in the diaspora, citizens in the country? Because sometimes when we speak about this, we actually forget there are citizens in the country, in Zimbabwe, who are in the majority, who actually have feelings, thoughts and opinions about this particular issue. And in Zimbabwe in particular, you'd see that these citizens express their thoughts and their feelings about diaspora vote in the pretty much new constitution of 2013. Because it's not the diaspora question, it's not like it has come up now. It has always been there. And during the constitutional process of 2013.
What is the problem right now? Because we know
the problem,
we know Mr. Zavare,
the problem,
the elections in Zimbabwe are constituency based, so that's where the problem is.
Right. how did we come to have elections constituent based? You see, that's the conversation that we should not run away from. Okay? During the constitutional making process, the opposition, led by the MDC, which was the biggest opposition party at the time, believing that ZANU-PF has rigged elections using postal voting. That was postal voting for citizens who would be in service across the world, whether they are in military service, peacekeeping missions, and so forth. Believing that ZANU-PF wins elections by rigging through postal voting, made sure that they campaigned for postal voting to be stopped, for any form of external voting to be stopped. Right now, according to our constitution, it's only the ambassador and his wife who can vote externally. Anybody else, including their staff, they cannot do so. Now, it is a constitutional requirement that we have 210 constituencies in the country. But not only do we have 210 constituencies in the country, our voting system, our electoral system, as exposed and agreed by the opposition, in fact, campaigned for by the opposition, is that it should be polling station based. It should be ward based. So when you register to vote, I'm a registered voter in Zimbabwe, in my rural area. I know I cannot vote anywhere else apart from my designated
polling station. But can that be changed? I think it's easy to change some of these things, like, you know, you talk and
then
fix it.
So, it's not a matter of changing and fixing it, as we are putting. Remember, this is a constitutional thing that we are talking about. And this constitution was passed by more than 95% of Zimbabweans who are resident in the country, who are directly affected by elections, by policies that are made by various political parties, and so forth. So that is why I said, when we have this conversation, we should not exclude citizens who are resident in Zimbabwe, who constitute the majority. If we are talking of democracy, these voted that they should not be diaspora vote. There should not be external constituencies. There should not be an external polling station. Now, if we are going to have diaspora votes, we also have to consider those feelings and go back to those people. It might actually mean having a referendum on that particular issue. To say, okay, this is where we are. We've got our citizens that when we did the 2013 constitution, we somehow forgot about them or we denied them what they are saying is their right. Now, how do we incorporate this? Again, the same people will have to decide. So at this moment in time, we can be as disingenuous as some of my colleagues here are being and just going political, actually avoiding the fact. And of course, diaspora voting comes with responsibilities. If you look at the diaspora policy...
Unfortunately, we are out of time.
For Kenya, for example...
Sorry, Mr. Zamari. We'll come back to this topic most probably by Friday. We're out of time right now. Thank you very much. So that was Mr.
You always run out of time.
Unfortunately, I'll talk to the seniors so that we can extend some time. Thank you so much. So we've run out of time.
Okay, thank you.
That was Mr. Xavier Zabari of ZANU-PF, based in London, that is the UK. So thanks very much. We've come to the end of our show today. We wish to thank our guests and listeners. Let's meet again next time. This is Gibbs Dube saying good night. Zimbabwe. We'll be right back.